Our reading this morning is from John chapter 13, verse 9 to 17. See how well my eyes are without having had forewarning. I just found about this at the start of the service, and usually I go out and photocopy it a bit bigger. I haven't done that today, so yeah, let's have a go at it. Anyway, John chapter 13, verses 9 to 17, page 137 in your pew Bible. And I just had the wrong one looked up. Did I say 13? 15. My apologies. Sorry, Rob, from here. I just thought I've got the wrong one looked up, and then I thought, oh no, actually, I've got the right one looked up. So it's John chapter 15 from verse 9. My Father's glory is shown in your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another, just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have is for his... The greatest love a person can have... I'm sorry, I've lost it. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another.
Thank you, Irene. I was a little nervous for a moment there when I thought you were speaking of a scripture that I hadn't prepared to give a talk on. And before I begin, though, the question that Drew asked me about who am I had me thinking about our family history, and my great-great-grandparents were on the island of Rosie in the Orkneys when the Great Disruption occurred and the Free Church of Scotland was born, which is, I think, what this congregation will track their ancestry to. They had a child and they left, knowing that their Crofter congregation was looking to them to take their part. And I think that's clear, that protesting spirit continues. However, when my grandfather and his father got to Dunedin, great-grandfather got to Dunedin in 1950, he went to the Presbyterian Church, but then he discovered that the best business conversations you could have was amongst the Anglicans. So ever since then, we've been Anglicans. So I think that as Anglicans, and I'm associated with the cathedral here in New Plymouth now, as Anglicans, I think ever since then we've been trying to do right by the poor and dispossessed in this country. The other thing I want to do is acknowledge Elizabeth and David Winter over here, because in 2017 I met Dave in his caravan, and he... was enthusiastic about caravanning, and I was a new caravan owner and knew nothing. And he advised us, he even came to our place and he bought us stuff, and he helped us out setting up our little caravan. For the last two summers we've been caravanning in various summery spots around the country. So tēnā kōrua. Hi Liz, hi Dave. Also, today, I may look to the engineer at the back, or maybe someone who's not so clear of hearing at the back. There's been too much salt water going in and out of my ears for the last week or two, because we've been at the beach, as so many of us have. And my hearing's really poor. The thing that I notice is that I'm speaking, strangely, more quietly than I used to. But it sounds so loud inside my head that I'm not used to being a bit deaf. I hope it's just water or wax on my ears or something like that. So if anybody's having trouble hearing me because I'm actually speaking too quietly, that's what the complaint has been, then please just raise your hand and I'll speak up a little bit louder. I think those are the main things I wanted to add to your question, Drew. Thank you for asking who I am.
Kororia ki te atua I rungo rawa, maunga rongo ki te wenua, o karo pai ki ngā tangata katoa. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Love one another as I've loved you. Love despite disappointment. Love even though they fought amongst themselves. This is how the disciples experienced that love. By being forgiven their failures, including their cowardice when their master was arrested. And then being loved so much to be chosen to make a spectacular comeback of great love and extraordinary courage. They experienced that love by knowing those failures before the great Easter comeback had been wiped out and forgotten by Jesus. This is what we call unconditional love. When we see or hear of it, when we see or hear of it, it's often very difficult to believe. But I once saw this love between a 7-year-old girl and her brother. The first time I met her, she was with him and they'd been brought to meet me by their parents. They said that he'd been teasing, hitting, bullying her, wouldn't stop. The girl and her brother came in and I was surprised when they sat down side by side in our children's counselling playroom at the Campbell Centre in Christchurch. The children chose something to play with, and soon the boy, like some of you, had settled into drawing a picture with felt pens. They listened, as prompted by me as the counsellor. The parents began to list a number of the boy's attributes and abilities, which were a source of enormous pride for his parents. And it was obvious that not only were his parents proud of him, but this little girl adored her big brother. As the description of the attributes of their boy continued, it was obvious both children were listening very carefully. Perhaps they were surprised. It wasn't the story of a brother bullying his sister and beating up on her, which was getting an airing. Instead, an older, much preferred story of this boy was being heard before the hitting problem brought such trouble and distress to everyone. Clearly, this family had been suffering the heartache which comes when someone bigger gets into the habit of terrorizing someone little. And then, we noticed what he was drawing. His picture seemed to be reflecting what he was hearing said about him. It was a drawing of how things used to be, and perhaps could be again. In a way, it was an ordinary sort of picture of all the family standing side by side in front of their house. Everyone's there, the pets and the parents, the grandparents, along with the young artist and his sister. this picture even had soft toys, favorite PlayStation characters, an invisible friend who'd appeared in their midst for the first time in about 5 years. This much preferred version of a 9-year-old and his family, it wasn't made up. It wasn't in any way untrue. It just hadn't been remembered very much since the nasty, abusive stuff began. And it wasn't as if we'd avoided talking about that horrible habit of hitting his little sister. The boy even drew a picture of it, directed again by me on a separate piece of paper. The horrible hitting habit. Once work on this family portrait was finished, it was very obvious the hitting problem was no longer to be included in this family. Why not? We asked. Because none of us want it around anymore, came his firm reply. Surely this sort of picture reflects how we'd all prefer our families to look and be. There are a number of beloved scriptures saying God chooses to remember us in just this sort of way. God knows how we fail, but despite our failures, our deliberate faults, a different and greatly preferred account is held by our Lord and Saviour of who we are to him. In this life, every one of us is vulnerable to bad habits and troubles. These things have existed long before us, even since the establishment of the human world. If we think back, we can usually recall a bad habit or two. In this family, the life of a 9-year-old boy had been taken over by something he didn't invent. It existed in the world long before he was born, and we are warned strongly that it is not our role to judge, even when others appear to be badly failing. Instead, today's gospel has Jesus giving, in the end, just one commandment: love one another as I've loved you. That family portrait drawn by a 9-year-old gave me a glimpse of what God's world is like, a world that's breaking in on the relentless violence and misery which even now seems to seek and maintain its global reach. When the family came to see me for a meeting to review how things had gone, there was good news about the picture. It was beginning to come true in real life. They said it was as if they'd got their old family back. And now it was now, as if a new old family was emerging. To match Jesus' command to love, there's a quote from a letter, 1 John, written as a parent addressing their family and saying, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." The last word in this story, as the family were leaving, came very appropriately from the 7-year-old, the sister. At the door, I mentioned how well her brother had done to stop all that hitting. She looked really offended. She said to me, "My brother doesn't hit me. He never does, and he never did." There are echoes of what God says about his children here, and what she claimed for her brother, whom she loved so completely, for she felt no fear of him, only love. You'll probably know the First Testament verse in Isaiah, which says, "I am the one who's blotted out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins." And famously, Hebrews 8, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And maybe, just maybe, that little girl had once heard what's written in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Nō reira, ngā mana ki tangata matua, nui ki a koutou katoa. May the blessing of God's love be with us all and those who are dear to us, now and always. Amen.